Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step.
Amen. You can take a seat. Anybody grateful to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Woo! Ooh, you guys yell louder for the crappy Panthers. Anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Come on. Hey, I'm Grant Perry. If I haven't gotten the chance to introduce myself to you, I serve as the Generations Pastor here at Home Church. Maybe you have a kid back in Treehouse Kids. Maybe you have a student. We get to hang out on Wednesday nights at Fuse. Or maybe you're a young adult and I get to hang out with you at Rally. Hey, well, can we just take a moment? I know he's not here, but can we give honor and a big thanks to our lead pastor, Kenny Mills, for all he does for this house? We thank you, Kenny. We love you, Pastor Kenny. Would you join me in prayer? Jesus, we love you, God. Right now, Lord, would you search and know our hearts? Try us and know our thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. God, I pray you'd minister to hearts this morning. Whatever you want to do, Holy Spirit, I pray we would be obedient to it. We would hear your word this morning. Hide me. I need you desperately this morning, God. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Hide me behind the gospel. May your word go forward and land on fertile ground this morning. It's in your name. Amen. Amen. Hey, well, recently I went through a really tough season, a tough month. I walked through a season of spiritual dryness. Yes, pastors go through it too. And through this season, have you ever felt distant from God? You ever felt like you couldn't discern his voice, hear from him? Maybe you were in scripture every morning, you were in the secret place, in your quiet time. You felt like anything you did on a spiritual level, any spiritual habits you were doing were ineffective. You're pouring out, you're tired, you're going through the motions of being a good Christian, trying to lead your wife, lead your kids, disciple them, and you just felt empty, pouring out from an empty cup. Well, that's exactly the season I recently went through. I was tired of being in this cycle, waking up, and through some great accountability and friendships, I got asked about the health of my prayer life. And I just had to sit in that for a moment and be really honest and let God confront sin in my heart. And when I got asked that question, I realized that I had removed the spiritual lifeline of prayer between the Father and I. That I was waking up and I was getting in the place with the Lord and doing the things that I felt like I needed to do, but still felt so dry and so empty. I had a spiritual desire, I had a holy appetite, but a physical limitation. I wanted to hear the voice of God, but I had limited my time in his presence. So this morning, the title of my message is Why We Pray. Why do we need to get back into the place of prayer? Why does Home Church, why do you need to be a people who prioritizes prayer? Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1. I'll give you a second to do so. I want to remind you, if you don't have your Bible, the scripture will be on the screens. And if you're online, it'll be at my feet. Luke 11, starting in verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. I have 3 points for you this morning. Point one is, why did the disciples ask Jesus this question of teach us to pray? You've been walking with Jesus for how long and you just asked the guy, teach us to pray? You would think they would already know how to pray by now. They had seen Jesus raise the dead, walk in humility. They had seen father-like characteristics over their life, preach in authority, and they ask, teach us to pray. In verse 1, we know Jesus is off in a certain place. We don't know what that place is, but he's off in a certain place. And the disciples let him finish praying before they ask this question. That tells me that they were close enough to soak in the power of what was taking place. Jesus, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. They had noticed that everything Jesus had done from this point on was a result and byproduct of Jesus' prayer time with the Father. Why did Jesus go off to prioritize his prayer time with the Father early in the morning? Everything the disciples saw was a byproduct of his prayer life. Today, this morning, I was gonna teach you how to pray, but I realized that wouldn't do any good if you don't wanna pray. And so I wanna teach you why you should pray. Why do we need to get back into the place of prayer? Why does prayer need to be a priority? Why does prayer need to be the backbone of home church? We're gonna be jumping around, hang with me. Would you jump with me to John 15, starting in verse 5? It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Don't miss this. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Point two, turn to your neighbor and tell him prayer is like the unseen vine. Prayer is like the unseen vine. Jesus paints this vivid picture in John 15 that he is the vine and we are the branches. And just as a branch draws nourishment from the vine, we also draw nourishment from the vine, from the unseen vine, from the unseen places with Jesus, from our time in prayer with Jesus. We draw strength, wisdom, and purpose from our intimate time with Jesus in the place of prayer. Prayer is the lifeline of that connection between you and the Father. It is how we remain in him. It is how we abide in him. It is how we listen to him. It is how we discern his voice. Jesus promises something. He says, if we remain in him and his words remain in us, we can ask whatever we wish. And a lot of us stop there, but we can't stop there. It's not this wish for selfish desires. It's a promise given that when we are truly connected with Christ, we're abiding and we're aligned with his will, that our lives bear real lasting fruit. When you look at a flourishing tree, when you're outside and you look at a flourishing tree, your eyes immediately go to the fruit, flowers, or beautiful leaves it's producing. What you don't usually see, in this case, this plant, what you don't usually see are the hidden vines wrapped around its core, feeding it, nourishing it, and supporting it. So I got this illustration for you. Prayer is like the unseen vine. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. When you look at a flourishing tree, why do you base the health of the tree dependent on what you see? The leaves, the flowers, the beautifulness of it. But what you don't understand is the health of the tree depends on what's unseen. This is your prayer life. This is what is unseen. What does the unseen times with Jesus look like in your life? Is prayer flowing within you this morning? Would you ask yourself that? Is prayer flowing within you this morning? The health of the tree doesn't depend on what's visible. It depends on what's unseen. True power is found in the hidden places with Jesus. I'm gonna say it again. True power is found in the hidden places with Jesus. What does your time with Jesus look like behind closed doors? If that time with Jesus looked so great behind closed doors, maybe you would have guidance and know how to lead your family and lead your spouse and disciple your kids. But that's an overflow of your intimate time with Jesus. Without the hidden connection of prayer, it's clear Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You know what the Greek word for nothing is? You know what it means? Nothing. You can't do anything. Just as a branch is cut off from the vine, we also, in our spiritual lives, are dried up and cut off without time with Jesus in the place of prayer. From the outside, when you look at a beautiful tree, a beautiful plant, it might look like it has it all together. And just as people, we might look like you've grown up in church, you've done the ministry things, you've served, you've been a part, you've prayed, you've interceded. You might look like you have it all together. You might have the right passions, desires, spiritual knowledge, but you haven't stayed connected to the vine, the unseen places with Jesus. This is where I caught myself in that season of life. Grateful for that accountable question of what does your prayer life look like? It was obviously weak. Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane gives us a clear illustration of what it looks like when we're not connected to the place of prayer, when we're not connected to the unseen places with Jesus. Would you turn with me to Matthew 26, starting in verse 36. Give you a second to do so. Verse 36, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Don't miss this part. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Turn to your neighbor with some attitude and tell him, your flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak. See, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is off praying, and he tells Peter to keep watch and pray, meaning, Peter, be spiritually alert at this hour. Keep watch and pray. And he comes back. Jesus comes back to Peter sleeping, and he says something profound. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak this morning. See, temptation is unavoidable, but falling into it is not when you're in the place of prayer. Everything stems from the place of prayer. We must get back into the true place of prayer, prioritizing prayer. True prayer is not self-reliant, it's God-reliant. That's why it says, your flesh is weak. When we aren't connected to the unseen places with Jesus, we fall into lust, pride, greed, selfish ambition, and so on. We're asleep, spiritually asleep. Just like a leaf dries up and withers, we, our spiritual lives do the same thing when we're not connected to the unseen nourishment place of prayer with Jesus. So to fully understand what is happening at this moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, we actually have to go back just a little bit to what happened in the upper room. What just happened a little earlier in the upper room at the Last Supper is Jesus had already predicted Peter's denial. He said, you would deny me 3 times. Jesus also told him that Satan was going to sift him out like wheat. Then Peter says something crazy to Jesus. He tells Jesus, I'll go to jail with you, I'll go to prison with you, and I'll even die with you. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Peter's intentions were there. Peter loved Jesus. He had the spiritual knowledge. He'd been walking with Jesus for however long now. He had the right intentions, he had the right desires, but he was found asleep in the hour he didn't need to be asleep. It was too late. If we were to keep reading, we would realize that with Peter not being connected to the unseen vine, with Peter not being connected at the hour he needed to be in the place of prayer, he would deny Jesus 3 times and we would see the fall of Peter's flesh. This morning, I look out across this room. And if I'm being honest with you, I see some beautiful men and women of God, and you have just what Peter had, the right intentions, desires, spiritual knowledge. You've been doing this church thing for a long time. But the truth is you've been found asleep. You are Peter. We have all been found asleep. And just in this time I've been up here, actually, I found 3 of you sleeping. You in the back. I'm just kidding. You are Peter. See, through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, you've been given everything you need to overcome, endure, and resist. But that power is only released to you in the place of prayer, with your intimate time with Jesus. A dear friend of mine says it well. He says, the greatest issue in this generation today is not a sin issue. It's a sleeping bride. That the bride of Christ has been found asleep at the hour they shouldn't be asleep. That we don't want Jesus to come back, and that we, the bride of Christ, the church, is asleep, just like Peter. This morning, you've been asking questions of what's going on with my marriage. When will God send me a wife? What school should I be going to? Maybe you're a young adult. What school should I be going to? What college should I be attending? How can I be the better pastor of my house? How can I lead my kids? How can I disciple them? What's my assignment in this life right now? What's my calling? What's my identity? What's my purpose? And you've been given everything you need to access the source, but you've removed the place of prayer. You have to come to him in the place of prayer. These are all questions you've been asking, and everything you need is in the source. You have access to him. His name is Jesus. So we must be a people who prioritizes prayer. This morning, I want to inform you on three areas of prayer here at Home Church that we are launching. That when we began at the beginning of this year, when we talked about the four walls we're building at Home Church, one of those four walls, the first wall was prayer, that we want to be a church that prioritizes prayer. That prayer should be the generator and backbone of Home Church. And so we have three opportunities for you to I want to invite you into. The first one is Thursdays at 12 p.m., just for 20 to 30 minutes. You can jump on whenever, you can jump off whenever. We did it so those of you in corporate or working a job, it's hopefully on a lunch hour, but that you would jump on a Zoom call and pray and intercede for the lost, for the needs of our church and our people, for our surrounding community, and we're gonna seek the presence of God together in the place of prayer. The second is a prayer meeting. If you didn't know, we meet every morning here in the auditorium at 8 a.m. Jamie, Kaler, and I have started meeting. We meet up in this corner right here. We have chairs that come out and we pray. Again, intercede. We pray for the message to be given that day. We pray for lost souls to come and encounter Jesus. And whatever the Holy Spirit puts on our hearts, we pray into. And so would you join us 8 a.m. here in the auditorium every Sunday? The last one, number three, in addition to the two meetings, Home Church is in the process of launching a prayer team. And on your way out today, I pray you would stop by. Jamie, Kayla will be outside in the lobby. We have a table. And if you're interested in joining the prayer team, if you have a call to prayer, to intercede, intercession is just another fancy spiritual word for praying for people, okay? If you have a call to pray, if you feel that burden over your heart, over your life, we would love to speak with you. We're actually gonna have a process of how you join the prayer team. And so there's an interest form out there. Myself or Jamie will reach out to you in the next couple of weeks to give you some more information on that. But please stop by. Let's be a church that prioritizes prayer. And I wasn't even gonna include this originally today, but I just felt compelled and convicted to share this. I know when I mentioned these three areas of prayer to some of you, you immediately went, "That's not for me. I don't do that. I don't pray aloud. Corporate prayer is not my thing. I don't like praying amongst people." Over the past couple months, maybe you're in this place, you're in this season of life with your prayer life, that I've had some conversations with some friends regarding the challenges that they face in the place of prayer corporately, but maybe not even corporately, maybe just amongst others in small prayer gatherings and meetings. And after gathering some of the responses, I felt compelled to share this, that the three words that I just felt, I just sensed that the Lord spoke to me in this time of preparing, the three words that we have forgotten in the place of prayer is "come to me." The invitation has always been the same, "come to me." See, God wants your vulnerable heart, your vulnerable prayers. We get so caught up in thinking about what we sound like, what people think of us, what we look like when we pray. And we've made prayer into a performance more than a posture. Let's say it again. We've made prayer more into a performance more than a posture. It's not about you. It's never been about you. It's about the living God that you get to encounter and that he gave you the gift of prayer to communicate with him. So this morning, I want to give you this analogy. Silly analogy I got a while back, why we fall into this trap of trying to clean up our prayers before we come to God. When was the last time you got clean before you got in the shower? Did you get clean before you came to Jesus if you're a believer in the house? Why do you try to clean up your prayers? Why do you try to sound more eloquent, use profound words, sound more spiritual than you really are? Some of you want to pray scripture and that's awesome. You should strive for that. But you've made it into a performance more than a posture. It's okay if you're uncomfortable in the place of prayer. You should be. This walk with Jesus is not a walk. The Bible says in Romans 5, "Yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us." It doesn't say, "Yet once we stopped sinning, Christ died for us." The invitation stays the same. Come to me. Come to me with your vulnerable heart in radical humility. Ready? God is ready to move on your behalf this morning. But he wants your vulnerable heart. There's a part you gotta play. A lot of times we fall into the season of, want a job? I'm just waiting on the Lord. He's waiting on you to get in the place of prayer, to seek his face, to seek his heart. Come to me. Would you consider joining one of these three areas of prayer at Home Church? Would we as a body make church a priority at this house? Charles Spurgeon once said, I want to leave you with this quote. Charles Spurgeon once said, whenever God determines to do a great work, he first sets his people to pray. Whenever God determines to do a great work at Home Church, he first is going to set his people to pray. The truth is the church doesn't move forward on good preaching alone, doesn't move forward on strategy alone or events that we throw. It moves forward and advances in the place of prayer. As we close this morning, I want to invite our elders and their wives to come forward. If you have a need that needs to be met, maybe you just want someone to agree with you in prayer, or maybe you want to receive prayer. This morning, my prayer for you is that you would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You would be obedient to what he's telling you. We're gonna open up the altar, and if you just even wanna come down and you wanna get into the place of prayer, into the posture of prayer, as we sing this last song, I just want you to be sensitive. I want you to sit in it. Psalm 139. Would you go ahead and stand, actually? Would you go ahead and stand? My buddy Zach Meerkriebs started doing this over at Asbury University, and man, I just love when he does this, and I just want to lead you in a prayer that I prayed at the beginning of service. We do this at Fuse quite often, but it's a prayer of consecration, that the Lord would search your heart. He would confront sin. And maybe this morning it's that confronting of, hey, you need to be back in the place of prayer. Whatever that is, but I just want to lead you. Would you believe this with me? Would you sit in this prayer? Would you repeat after me? Psalm 139, say, search me, God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Jesus, thank you for this morning, God. I pray you'd move right now in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls, that we be sensitive to your spirit. Pray your spirit is so sensitive, it's like a itchy sweater on our back right now that we can't get off. That you're more tangible than any other person or any other thing in this room. God, that you would become the most real thing, person to us than anything else in this world. God, I pray we would prioritize, that we would get back into the place of prayer. That we haven't removed that spiritual lifeline of prayer. It's time to come back to it. So this morning, God, would you move? Pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit right now, God. Whatever you want to do, pray this in your name. Amen. I invite you to move.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.